big series in Cleveland coming up starting tomorrow, the first of 13 against Cleveland this season. Joining us now, of course, the one and only pregame, postgame host of the Kansas City Royals, Josh Vernier. Vern, what's up, my man?
Not too much, Bink. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. Hey, man, I'm excited. Who can't be excited about
it? Right, exactly.
It's a big series at the beginning of June. I don't care.
You're in it, and you're not going to leave it.
Right? I'm in it. I'm on Dusty's cruise ship. At this point, I'm sitting out on the deck having a few beers. You know, I'm enjoying this cushion that they built up. But, all right, you're 61 games in. Did you always look at June, Vern, to be that time where you thought, okay, get us to June, and then we'll see how good you are. Then we'll see how really good you are. Well, they got to that point.
Yeah, yes. Pretty similar to that. It was always, you know, maintained through May is what I was screaming. But that was more about just stay in the fight through the month of May. That's what I was screaming back in spring training, because I thought if they could just hover around 500 for the first 2 months of the season, the young hitters, even some of the young pitchers that this team was going to rely on, they, over the course of those 2 months, if they were able to hover around 500, those young bats, those young arms, I thought, would find enough confidence that, man, we made it this far. I thought if they can maintain through May, well, then they'll maintain through July, and then we'll finally have some exciting baseball in August and September. But, you know, by the end of April, it was pretty apparent that they were going to be in it at the end of May, that they were going to be around 500 as we flipped the calendar to June, and they were even better than that. 10 games above 500, now 11 games above 500. So, look, like I said, they're going to be there all season. There's no reason why this team should ever fall out of the race.
Well, I'm definitely buying into it. Do you feel the people are buying into this? I heard Denny Matthews was on with Carrington earlier talking about the fan base, how they're really just enjoying this, the team and their makeup and the way that they never give in, never say die. That's what it's been with this team. You don't want to turn the TV off because they're always going to be fighting and scrapping. And we saw a lot of this, Vern, in 13, 14, and 15, even 16 with these Kansas City Royals. But I've always likened it a little bit to the Chiefs defense, that no one was buying into it nationally. It was all about what's wrong with the Chiefs offense. Then all of a sudden they realized, okay, this defense is actually legit. I feel it, at this time, because we've rolled to June, that the fan base starts to say, I think this Royals team is legit.
Yeah, I would hope so. Because I'm with them. I don't know what else you're looking for. You have a top five rotation, a top five defense. Base running wise, you're top five. OPS wise, so offensively, you're the best in the division. No, you don't have HDH, but you're never going to have another HDH. No, you don't have a lockdown closer, a strikeout guy out of the bullpen when you need him. But that's the job for J.J. Piccolo. He has 2 months until the trade deadline to, you know, find this guy, or find, you know, Matt Quatrero and the rest of this coaching staff, find them someone to turn to. You know, in these spots that we're going to see, Jay, over the next 3 days, you know, and you've seen it almost as much as anyone, you've seen Jose Ramirez come up in a big spot in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning and hit that game-winning extra base knock. The Royals need someone to square off with Jose Ramirez. Now, even that guy's going to lose because Ramirez is awesome, but you need someone that can get the big punch out, like we saw from the Twins, like we saw from the Padres, two teams in playoff positions, two teams with better bullpens than the Royals. But if that's your biggest weak link, great. Because to me, the bullpen's the easiest thing to fix. So I think the Royals are in a great spot right now.
Vern, one thing about this team is the way they're playing. You talk about the defense, the speed. I mean, that's what I made a big deal about during the pregame shows. It's just they're doing everything well. I mean, when you're playing defense, when you're starting pitching's doing that, and you're putting pressure on the other team. And at that point, they were just a couple stolen bases behind behind the Tampa Rays at that point. But we do buy into it. We like this team. This rotation is too good. They're fun to watch. But that game Sunday, Vern, I know that C-Dot had asked Denny Matthews about it and Joel Goldberg about it. But how big did you think that Sunday was, that comeback for the Royals to win that game? Cleveland, of course, loses that game. It slides the Royals just to 4 games back behind Cleveland. Did you get the sense from talking to people in the post game and everything about how big that game was to everybody?
Well, it was a big weekend, right? More than 81,000 came out to Kauffman Stadium. I believe that's the biggest weekend this stadium has seen since the pandemic. I might be wrong on that, but I quickly went back and looked. I couldn't find one.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Fans are turning out, so they're in, and to give them a win in this stretch that I've talked so much about, this 20-game stretch against teams in playoff position, you drop 3 of 4 to the Twins. You come home and get swept by the Padres and start this bad boy off with 1 win in the first 7 games, fans would start to look at this team out of the corner of their eye, especially with Michael Wacha going on the IL and Michael Massey already being on the IL and everyone loving to, take MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro behind the woodshed. So, if they would have lost that game yesterday, again, it would have been because of an errant throw from a reliever, a bad defensive play, more so than a bad pitch from Angel Zerpa. Normally really good with the pickoffs, but it came back to bite them yesterday. If they would have lost that game, it would have been pretty rough. But if they would have lost the 3rd game of the season, Bank,
yep.
If they would have got swept right out of the gate by the Minnesota Twins, this city would have been upset. So that win, Brady Singer's win, his first game of the season, that to me has stood out as the biggest win of the season for quite some time. But certainly fans would not have handled yesterday well. But here's the thing. You have 3 coming up with Cleveland, 3 with the Mariners, 4 with the Yankees, and then 3 with the Dodgers. I have to imagine that fans are going to be up and down very much over the next 2 weeks, so I'm not giving them too much credit one way or the other. Let's see how they handle these 2 weeks.
About 8 weeks away is the trade deadline, July 30th. Yeah. You talk about how you can fix this bullpen relatively easily. Last year, the Royals were kind of ahead of the curve as far as making some deals. We'll see what JJ does.
Because they sucked.
Well, yeah.
And it was clear they sucked.
Yeah, they did, and they admitted it. And they said, hey, let's build this team up for this year. What do you expect them? I mean, do you expect it to be heavy on the in the bullpen?
Yeah, I would think so. Right now, that's the glaring need. That's the major need. Do you want more production from the corner outfield? Sure, but it's not killing you. Again, top 10 OPS right now in Major League Baseball. The offense is fine. And real quick, and you're right, I did say they could fix the bullpen easily. It's not easy. Let me take that back. It's in a market like this, it's never easy. JJ and the rest of that front office need to continue to hit at a 60-75% clip. You need to keep pulling the John Schreibers and James MacArthur's and Nelson Velasquez's and Cole Reagan. So, none of those acquisitions at the time. I mean, I wasn't, they got Nelson Velasquez for Jose. I didn't know anything about him. I wasn't jumping up and down for Cole Reagans. I was happy they got a young starting pitcher with control, but I didn't know he would turn out to be one of the 10 best lefties on the planet. But that's the type of move that they need to make again, but this time for a reliever. I don't think, now they could, John Sherman could say, to hell with it, let's go all in, I'll eat the money. But I just don't think that's how they're going to operate. I don't think they're going to part with the big prospects. I think they need to win on the margins. It's not going to be the big name hotshot reliever that everyone wants at the deadline. It's going to be the guy that, has some good numbers, and this pitching department will see something in his repertoire that would say, bring him here, we'll accentuate that pitch, and hopefully unlock something from him. That's what they did with Reagans. That's what they've done with MacArthur, and hopefully they can pull that off again.
Well, we know the White Sox aren't going anywhere this year. Detroit, I think they're still a year away. Minnesota, I've been looking at this two-horse race between Cleveland and Kansas City. Minnesota, I want to buy into that team. But, I see a 12-game winning streak. I see an 8-game losing streak. I mean, to me, that's inconsistency. That's where I think of Minnesota at this point.
The only thing that Minnesota scares me, if I saw him in the first round of the playoffs, going up against Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan, they're not, I'm not saying it's Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson, but it could be over the course of a five-game series, not to mention those monsters they have in the bullpen with Duran and Alcala and Griffin Jacks. Those 5-6 arms could single-handedly win an ALDS or an ALCS, throw in a big game from Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton. They have the star power, they have the big arms to shock you in a series, but I don't think, no, I don't think they can vie for the division. But if they get a wild card spot, that could be a scary team.
One thing I've noticed about this team is kind of the temperament, and I like it. I know that the last couple of years, you know, we talked about, I had Matheny on a couple of years ago, and it asked him, he was talking about, you know, with Benintendi here and Merrifield, you know, the younger guys, their voice wasn't exactly heard. Now it is. Like Vinny's attitude towards the beginning, hey, we're good. This is no fluke. He said that on MLB radio, the no fluke. The attitude, even Matty Q seems different. I mean, he just, this team's focus.
Really? How so? Because I was on with Fesco saying the complete opposite.
Oh, were you?
The guy that lost 106 games last year, that's the same guy inside the clubhouse,
really?
Inside the manager's office that I'm talking to on a daily basis.
Sure.
And it's been pretty impressive to see how many of the guys are adopting that one day at a time and, you know, what's important now and be where your feet are and all those cliches that Quintero preaches that aren't cliches because he actually lives it.
Well, I understand that he does that. I just noticed something different. Like in the post game, you know, when he talks and everything else, it's more of a serious nature. I mean, it's like, hey, this team is good. That's kind of what I noticed. I mean, yeah, it's like learning experience last year and stuff like this. But it's an attitude of a team that wins. I mean, that's kind of what
to me,
a team
what
that believes in themselves.
Yeah, what you're hearing from Matt Quatrero is the very pragmatic, straightforward, no-nonsense guy that he is.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear that last year, it's because they sucked last year and he didn't say anything positive about them. You know, he's acknowledging that they're a good team, that they stay in the fight. But, all of this comes back to the pitching, you know.
I just see a team
the pitching, the defense,
things.
And the team speed. For as much as we want to talk about all the clubhouse likes each other and, they don't quit, whatever. Bad teams don't quit. I've watched a lot of bad baseball, Binkley, and a lot of those bad Royals teams fought you until the end. They just didn't have the pitching or the talent. This team has both, so that's why it's, oh, man, they never stop fighting. They're professionals. They better fight until the end.
Well, it seems to me they take things personally more. As far as, you know, you
lose. They're just more talented. No, I don't buy that.
I don't know, man.
I mean, every NFL game's decided by 3 points. The NBA's a league of swings. These are the best baseball players on the planet. They're going to play you tight. You're going to, you know, again, bad teams that don't have enough pitching and enough talent, you're going to lose a lot of games. But when you have one of the best rotations and maybe the best player on the planet in Bobby Witt Jr., one of the five best catchers of his generation, you're going to win some games.
What do you think about Perez? And I love what MLB Network said about him about a week or so ago. And, you know, you think about it, you know, he's part of that core with Hosmer and Moose and Kane and those guys. Then, you know, that lull in between. Now he's part of that core with the Bobby Witt Juniors and Vinny and this young team, Massey's, this world now. It's like he's been a part of like two, like, growth spurts with the Royals. Kind of really impressive when you think that he's been, you know, part of both.
Yeah, and yet the thing that's most impressive to me is what he did in the lull. Now, Bink, you know how brutal these days are, how June, July, August of awful baseball. As a reporter, you don't even want to go to the stadium sometimes. Now, I understand his salary is much different than our salary, but he's also showing up hours before us, working so much harder than us. And, man, Salvi had so many chances where he could have asked for a day off in those awful seasons of 20, 21, 22, 23, 2018, and he just never did it. So, you know, to me, I have found it somewhat funny how, man, that question mark that used to be on the end of the conversation of is Salvi a Hall of Famer, that question mark is gone. Everyone's just kind of, okay, now he's in. And the only thing that's changed is the Royals have been good for 2 months. It's almost as if people didn't pay attention to what Salvi's been doing for the past half decade. They win for 2 months, and now it's, oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Now he's up
there.
Where
the hell you been?
Now he's up there with Pudge and Johnny Bench as far as catchers with over 255 home runs and five gold gloves. It's amazing. I used to tell you, you know, back in like 14, 15, 16, like as tired as you think he would be, Who was the guy that was bouncing the soccer ball, you know, an hour and a half after the game? It was Salvi. You know what I'm saying? Right. He's like Energizer Bunny. He just continued to do this, and he would catch, and he'd go play in the All-Star series over in Japan. He's always catching, was always playing, but he always had energy, and I don't think people really realized, like, how much this guy was going all the time.
Well, here's the thing, Bink, and you know, something that you would love, and you know, the best part about it, in my opinion, the best part about playoff baseball is how certain rules can be bent. Like when a big home run's hit, even if it's in the second inning, everyone's allowed to pile out of the dugout. That's not showing anybody up. That's just emotion pouring over. That's triple yesterday from Nelson Velasquez, the way that Michael Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. popped out of the dugout. Those two guys, man, are cut from a similar cloth to Salvi. No, Bobby's, it appears, destined for the Hall of Fame, too. We'll see about Michael. But those guys show up every single day, ready to play, with a good attitude, expecting to win. They haven't been infiltrated by bad baseball over the years or an expectation of losing. Michael and Bobby are winners to the bone, man. They're right there with Salvi. That to me, is one heck of a trifecta the Royals have. Throw Vinny in to make it a perfect quartet.
Yeah, I just like the way that they're doing things. I heard you say something, and we used it as a topic on Fesco in the Morning last week when I was in with Kling, and that's when you were debating who you would take from the 2015 team. And you kind of had a hard time with, you know, with Wade Davis and maybe Kelvin Herrera, but you went Kendrys Morales was one of your guys that you picked. I would have gone that way too, or Lorenzo Cain especially. But, man, sure. Have you thought about that anymore? Like who would have been that one guy? Because I heard you mention several guys, but is there one particular guy from 15 you'd put on this team?
Wade Davis.
100%.
Yeah, Wade's the answer. Okay. Wade Davis in 2015.
That's hard to argue there.
I mean, he was even better in 2014, or was he better in 15? I don't know. But that two-year run, you can make a case he was the greatest reliever two-year run that we've ever seen. You put that guy at the back end of the bullpen, suddenly Schreiber and Zerpa and MacArthur and the rest are, you know, pitching in the seventh and eighth, and every once in a while Wade's giving you two innings. Yeah, give me Wade Davis. I respect Lorenzo Cain's bat, man, that would be nice. Kyle Isbell's doing a pretty good job defensively when he can stay healthy. But yeah, give me Wade Davis. Let's round this out. A great rotation with a great closer. Now, to me, there would be absolutely no question who's the favorite in the division.
Because middle right fingers, now, right, Vern? Middle fingers.
Cleveland has that over you, no doubt.
I love that. Well, one of the guys I brought up and said, what about Sal Perez? Would you take that younger Sal Perez from 15, or would you take this one, Mr. Captain, that's a lot different at the plate? Which Perez would you take, that one or this one? That was the World Series MVP.
Yeah, well, I mean, not even close.
Okay, you take
this one. Not even in the same ballpark. As a defender, as a hitter, as a leader, as a catcher, just not even close. Yeah, World Series MVP, but that was even strange. There wasn't a real MVP of that series, in my opinion. I mean, Ben Zobrist was the playoff MVP. I guess Salvi had the best numbers, but that was a team win.
How much are you looking forward to this, Vern? How much are you enjoying this? How much are you going to enjoy your On Deck show tomorrow with Cleveland?
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. It's time since the city's been this excited about Royals baseball. And, the same way that you feel with Patrick Mahomes, where I know you have a chance to win. I might not win it, but I know we're going to have a chance. I know if you flip the game on in the third quarter, Pat's going to have a chance to win this thing. And that's what this rotation, defense, and team speed are in Major League Baseball. You can flip it on in the sixth inning. Pretty good chance that the Royals are going to have a chance to win that game.
Why didn't they have one more strikeout on Sunday from Reagan's? I was wanting one more strikeout. I'm always right there at the cusp, Vern. Always right there. That's why I don't do it. But I was right there at the cusp. Always.
Yeah, well, it's a loss.
Yeah. It is.
That's gambling. Well, yeah, you come close and you lose.
I know. I got on a roll last year in the summer. We'll see what can happen this year. But I've just
you're doing horrible.
Man. I know.
Like horrible. Like,
I know.
It's getting to a place where, like, I don't even want you telling people what to bet on in case they're listening to you.
I know. Well, last
That's
year was
how
the same
horrible
way.
You're
but,
doing.
But then I turned around.
No, it wasn't this bad.
A couple
the
weeks
only
ago,
person
I hit
that was
both
this
of them.
Bad. No, I think that was a long time.
Dusty
ago.
Dusty never
man.
Won last year.
Yeah,
I've
and
won.
I kicked him off the show.
And I've actually
You're
won.
Getting close to getting kicked off the show. If you wouldn't have hosted it, I don't think I'm allowed to now that you've hosted it. But, man, you're doing really bad.
I know, Vern. I'll turn it around. I've been right, so buddy. Close, though, man.
Yeah, it's that's just
like
gambling.
That, just like that game right. where Perez gets pulled yeah, in New York.
That's how it goes, man. Right after gambled he gambled before.
Yeah, I know.
That's why it's fun.
It is fun.
It's because you come very close, and then you lose, and then you're living in a gutter.
Great stuff, Vern. I cannot wait to hear the On Deck show for the series. I always do, but I can't wait for you to be firing us all up for the Cleveland series.
My man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. See you later. There's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider.